The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. Clean, reliable and always available 24 hours a day. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.
Live at todayfm.com. Live at todayfm.com. We'll get you your famous shout out. Keep it short. Tell us about your business, where you are, and we will try to do the rest. Now, earlier, I called it the tussle for talent. This year, it's reckoned following the horrendous crash that we'll actually have full employment. That's really good news for employees who can exact or expect some wage or benefit uplift. But what does it mean for the employer? You may have seen that Aldi yesterday matched Lidl by giving its employees the living wage. Dr. Charlie Larkin is assistant professor at the Trinity Business School, and he's been poring over the Abrivia TCD Employment and Economic Trends Survey and joins me now in studio. Morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
What have you been looking at and what have you found out from this? Are employers who are listening in for a bad new year?
Oh, I don't think they're in for a bad new year. I think they're just going to have to realise that there will be a tussle for talent. And about 85% of them are aware of the fact that they're going to have to be increasing wages this year. Though wage increases will be relatively modest. So for those employees who are waking up this morning, you're not going to get 10% or 20%. You'll probably get something in the order of between 3 and 5%.
And given that there is no inflation, or damn near, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's the first year in 10.
Well, most employees that we surveyed received a small, under 3% increase last year.
Okay.
And are expecting something of similar magnitude this year. Really where we see the interest is in the other side of the house, which is the actual perks that you get with the job.
Benefits.
And people are more concerned about health benefits now more than ever. So people expect if they're going to be with a high-end employer that they get benefits. And also people are becoming more aware of concerns with respect to pensions. So the people we surveyed have a higher than average for the Irish population access to pensions, and a lot of them look forward to gaining access to pensions with their employer in the new year.
When was the survey taken? At least, what month do you remember?
It was in October, November of last year.
Yeah, which would have been the high point of the publicity around pensions, I'm guessing. And it's just my guess that they possibly were aware of it, because I bet you by March they'll have forgotten about pensions again.
Well, this is where we get into the key question which we had, which was about auto-enrollment. And in fact, we found that the majority of employees are in favour of auto-enrollment into pensions. And this has been an ongoing debate.
Make me do it.
Because most people, when they're in their 20s, don't think about pensions. They wake up when they're 55 and they break out in a cold sweat. And that's really what people want to avoid. And a lot of people now are renting. They don't own their homes. And of course, the Irish system is designed that you own your home by your late 50s, which means that you don't need to worry so much about having a big pension. But if you don't own your home, you
that
do need that big pension.
Is a problem. What else have you found in your survey?
Well, we also did a series of interesting questions on education. And what we found was that when we looked at the highest earners,
they all want to go to Trinity.
Well, of course they do. It's the best university in the country, especially the business school. But in addition to Trinity Envy, we found that the majority of them actually went to this other place in Belfield known as University College Dublin. But for those that were earning the most, over 100,000, only 2% of that grouping had between 550 and 600 points. So despite the fixation with high points...
How interesting. Say that slowly one more time, because for all the average people out there, me included, tell me that again.
So only 2% of the people earning over 100 grand had points above 550. So what we found was that for the most people that earned the most, they weren't doing poorly. They were between 450 and 550. So high points by definition of the HEA. But they were the people that excelled. And it wasn't those at the tippy top of the system. And on top of that, we found that for a lot of people, it was that group sports, GAA and team sports, that contributed the most to their future performance outside of academia. So if you looked at, you know, we asked them, was it scouting? Was it volunteering? Was it doing other activities? Was it GAA and team sports? And they said it was GAA and team sports. And the same response came from employers. that was the big thing that they could see having an impact on how people performed into the future. So
is that their network? So is that their brotherhood or sisterhood?
Well, we tend to fixate a lot on academic intelligence, but in fact, there's other aspects. Multiple intelligence has been around as a conversation for a long time, but really we're talking about this emotional intelligence, this ability to deal with individuals and complex situations, that social interaction. And that is not something which we necessarily assess in education, in secondary or higher education, but it does come out very clearly when we look at things like team sport.
So are you saying to me, to get the higher wages, join your local GAA club?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's a causation linkage, but what I would say is that there is clearly a link between the way that people perform, that you have to have a bit of an ability in the academic side, but you also have to have the social ability. And it's the mixture of the two of them. It's the balance of the two of them that actually creates this burst of performance.
Did you look at any particular sectors that will be more in demand, therefore with higher wage rate expectations than others?
Yes, so we looked at across several different sectors, and their responses were quite different. And if we're to be honest about it, it's the internationally traded services sectors where you're going to see, first of all, international norms. These are the ones that say, we give you healthcare, we give you maternity leave, we try to keep the differential between male-female wage limited. So things like finance, ICT, globally traded businesses. When you look at other businesses such as accounting and law, which are very much domestic orientated, you see a difference. You see less incentives towards providing pensions, less incentives towards providing healthcare. And the wage differences are different. So those in ICT are looking at big wage increases this year because there is a real absence of talent on the ground there. So they're going to have to pay through the nose for it.
So be average on your number of points, join the GAA, go down to the IFSC. Any other insights?
Well, the only other insights which I would say is that when you look at location, people will take a pay cut to move out of Dublin. If you want to set up an ICT office in Tralee, people will take a pay cut to move out of Dublin to go down there. And that's largely because of the stress of the housing market. At the moment, most people that responded to the survey are paying more than what they should economically for rent, given their level of wages. And that's not unique to Dublin, but it is a feature of these global cities, and it's eating away at competitiveness in Ireland, is that housing problem. In general, though, competitiveness is good. Growth prospects are good. Yes, we're probably looking at full employment within the next 12 months, but we're also looking at this big risk, which is the Brexit creature. And a lot of firms, we asked them about this, have not prepared for Brexit. They're aware that it's going to do damage to their business model.
How do you prepare for something that you have no idea? It's a movable feast on the hour, every 24 hours.
Well, certain things are relatively well known. So if you're talking about, if you're in certain aspects of merchandise trade, you're going to have to prepare for a change in your supply chain. Because the supply chains, traditional surface supply chains, are going to have to be more orientated towards continental Europe. Last year, the legal profession was not concerned about Brexit. This year, they are, because it's become clearer what the post-Brexit relationship will be with respect to the common travel area and the movement of persons and the use of the single market. The big unknown question is what's going to happen now with the customs union. But firms are beginning to be aware of the fact that they need contingency plans for this event, because they can't be caught.
Charlie, we're going to have to bring you back in again. This was your first time in the Sunday Business Show, you tell me. So yes. we'll bring you back in again. Anybody who wants to find out that survey, we'll find it where?
Breviia.com will be where it's online.
A-B-R-I-V-I-A. We put it all up onto the todayfm.com website, onto the Sunday Business Show site as well.
Yes. And
because it really is, there are some great insights in there.
And there's a launch event on the 24th of January in the dining hall in Trinity.
You mean we got it first?
You got it first.
Charlie Larkin, thank you so much for joining us. That is the assistant professor at the Trinity Business School, Dr. Charles Larkin. Thanks, Charlie. And we will take a quick ad break.
The Sunday Business Show
with Gas Networks Ireland. So convenient, with no need to store, order or pay in advance. More at gasnetworks.ie/gasforbusiness.
Today FM.